Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We are back.
Absolutely. Well, on Easter Sunday, Knowledge Fight has risen from the dead.
We have risen.
That is
indeed
our obligatory. Yeah, I know. I knew that was coming. That's our obligatory mention of Easter. Now indeed. We can go back to never giving a fuck about it again.
I like candy. Easter is the best season for seasonal
Reese's
candies.
Reese's peanut butter eggs, man. All you need.
Have you seen?
You love the Cadbury shit, and that is awful.
The Cadbury mini eggs are the best candy of all
Disgusting.
Time.
Disgusting.
How dare you? Have you seen that they...
Welcome back to Candy Talk with Dan and Jordan.
Have you seen that they're starting to fuck around with that Reese's egg format?
No. Because
they have the regular Reese's egg, but now they have a Cadbury egg that just has Reese's peanut butter in it.
Ah, you fucking idiots.
It's a mess. Anyway.
It's a perfect candy. There's nothing... Anyways, you know a lot about Alex Jones.
And you know nothing about
it. I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
Welcome back from your vacation. You were sorely missed, but I'd like to thank the people in our Facebook group. Go home and tell your mother you're brilliant for keeping me company.
Yes, that's a good point, Dan. Without me, you have no other human contact.
No, that's not true. But, you know, none that I can bounce this stuff off of
right.
And what have you, and discuss fun Alex Jones-related issues. And it means a lot. Thank you all in the group.
Yes, I was busy being ignored in L.A. by all and
the
anyone
industry?
Who could. Yes, everyone possible.
Yeah, well.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, doesn't matter. Ignored. Brutally.
Across the board.
Oh.
Also like to give a special shout-out to listener Darren. Sent me a nice email about a book about the rise of totalitarianism in Russia, and I've started reading that. Very interesting stuff. I always like that. I always like a nice book reco.
Yeah.
So I'd like to thank him for that.
Which rise of totalitarianism in Russia?
The most recent one.
The most recent one. Yeah. Okay, I was going to say, because Russia is famously... susceptible to authoritarianism.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Something that is not susceptible to authoritarianism is
damn
our
it, government. I have missed your transitions, Dan, so much. I listened to the episode with Riggs, and the whole time, every time you did a transition, I was like, no! And Riggs didn't say anything. He just rolled with it.
He's used to it.
Disappointing.
But I'd like to give a shout out to our new donor. What's going on out there, Sarah?
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
If you would like to become a policy wonk yourself, you can do so by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, then clicking that little button that says support the show. We would appreciate it. We are so thrilled with everybody who's donating.
Every single person, you are heroic.
Also, we'd like to take some ads. So if you have a business, contact us.
Yeah. We finally have enough.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. We will do it for way less than you might imagine. We're not going to tell you how much less than you might imagine.
Well, we will.
That's
if
bad
you email
negotiating.
Us.
Yeah, that's bad negotiating.
Anyway, speaking of bad stuff, today is bad. What we are going to be doing, Jordan, today is we're going to be doing. We'll have a two-part episode, and this is what you're listening to right now is part one of that, and these two episodes will cover the last week.
Gotcha.
So from the 25th of March to the 31st of March. And aggressively bad stuff that's been going on this week.
Great, fantastic. So this is going to be our Phantom Menace.
Yes. What? Oh, aggressively bad?
Yeah. There we go. All right.
You might have seen a lot of stuff in the news about Alex Jones this last week with him. Oh, I don't know.
I didn't. I had to ignore it.
I
read the other news, which that was also aggressively bad.
Yeah, and there's some overlap, it seems.
Yeah.
But you might have seen stories about, like, let's say, Alex Jones comparing the Parkland kids to Nazis.
Yep.
Things along Sounds those right. lines. And some of that we'll touch on, but I think there's actually a lot of worse stuff everyone's ignoring, much like last week, the week before. He said that whites were being exterminated in Rhodesia.
Of course.
And one seemed to pay attention to that.
And ironically, the people who could be most compared to the Nazis are the Israeli government.
Oh, boy.
Strange.
Yeah.
Strange circumstances there.
Oh, boy.
They're about one pitchfork away from committing their own genocide. So thanks, Israel.
The shit that's going on right now is not to be believed.
Oh, hey.
Well, I mean, it is. But
no reason to investigate that shit. Why would you? They were an angry mob. Definitely not mad about being murdered over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Weird how the Palestinians would react negatively.
I mean, I admittedly don't know everything about the very long conflict going on over there. But I would posit that,
when would you say it began?
It's a tale as old as time. I would say that even if the Israeli line on, like, shooting protesters and stuff like that was correct, which I'm not saying that it is, but it's even not. If it were, bad optics.
I think
even they should be like, ooh, boy.
Yeah, for some corollary to that, in America, you would have to go all the way back to the Standing Rock protests from a year ago.
Well,
yeah.
To be fair, they didn't shoot them. They just hosed them down in sub-zero temperatures.
And they did some shooting.
Was there actually shooting of people?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't like rock salt?
It was not. I mean, I'm not sure, but if you fire anything out of a gun at somebody else, I'm going to consider that shooting.
Yeah, it's not right. But also, everyone's always curious. So today we're drinking, Besieged, a nice red wine out of Sonoma County, which is close to where you were over vacation.
Hey, there we go.
You didn't go to Napa? You didn't go to wine country?
I did not go to Napa. You know what? Not interested.
You know what?
I like wine. I don't want to stop and taste wine at some weird place.
I've been there. It's not that interesting.
It's not that interesting?
No. It's kind of a take it or leave it.
Here's what we do to make wine. We grow these grapes. And then, you know, some other stuff happens.
And
then
you
drink wine.
Yeah.
Hey!
So, Jordan.
Yes.
Part one.
There we go.
Oh,
that's right. We are doing this.
This starts on Sunday, March 25th.
Uh-huh.
And on the Sunday show, Alex was hosting with Owen Schroyer.
Always a great sign.
For a little while, and then Alex had to leave. He had to disappear for whatever reason, and he left Owen to host.
Legal troubles.
So we won't be discussing too much of when Owen's gone, but Alex starts something on this episode that is really fascinating and goes through the entire week.
Of course.
And that is, he talks about
how... He's got a running gag.
It is. It's a running story, much like the Halloween Hitler hat story,
right.
The Triple H story.
Which is definitely not a Hitler hat.
No.
I mean, yes, it was.
Alex went to Six Flags.
That's the most fun place on earth!
Absolutely.
I was just at Six Flags. I was just at Six Flags yesterday and today with my daughters and five of their friends. I had Hispanic, black, old, young. I got mobbed at the hotel. Mobbed at Six Flags. I shot video. We're going to have some tomorrow.
Oh,
no one disagreed. It was incredible. They were all there like, we've broken the conditioning. We understand. We know it's really rare to get shot. We know they want our guns. We know they're globalists. We know it's Soros. And it was just like, high five, high five. Yeah, we're winning.
Alex, the people love you, Alex. You need to go out more.
No, they love you. No. And the thing is, they love freedom.
No.
They love freedom.
I love that.
No, they love you, Owen Schroyer, despite zero evidence that that may even be close to true.
Also, during that, when he's saying high five, he posts up for a very awkward high five with Owen Schroyer.
Does he get it?
Yeah, he gets it, but it's the second of two high fives within 4 minutes.
Ooh.
It's very weird. But I love that moment of like Owen being like, you should go out more. They love you. No, they love you.
No. Also, look. I'm not saying that you can't be friends with Alex Jones's daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're lovely.
Sure.
But if you are being taken to Six Flags with Alex Jones, you have to be the most miserable person at Six Flags.
I imagine it can't be fun. But
no.
Then I look back on my childhood, and I was friends with a lot of people who looking back.
A lot
back,
of Nazis?
Not necessarily. Maybe some people who support the Confederacy.
Possible.
I grew up in central Missouri.
That's true.
You know, there's a lot of people who I look
secretly,
back.
Secretly, all of them do.
I don't know. Missouri, outside of the bigger cities, there's a lot of.
Very pro-Confederacy.
A lot of troubles.
Very pro-Confederacy.
But so Alex went to Six Flags, my man.
Yes.
And he was
mobbed by multi-ethnic people.
And a lot of the youth, the young people.
Of course.
As he explains in this next clip, the young, they love conservatism.
Studies show most Generation Z are libertarian or conservative now because almost all their teachers, almost all their professors are beating them over the head with globalist ideology.
So that's the next wave. So the wave of David Hogg is like their final wave of the establishment was the NRA. The establishment was the conservatives.
So also on this show, Owen Schroyer suggests that it's just a phase.
Of course.
That David Hogg is going through and rebelling and
hey,
what have you.
Hey, if you're not a liberal when you're young, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative when you're old, Dan, you have no brain.
Right.
Or you're a soulless husk of a human being. There is also that.
Or you've started to make a lot of money and you want to protect it.
You really love protecting money.
So what do you think about that stat? That's not really even a stat.
Yeah, no, it's just a conjecture, mm-hmm. I would say, at best. And maybe he's drawing on certain studies which have shown that most of the young people are trying to become unaffiliated with parties, maybe because they attribute all of climate change and income inequality to both parties, and in fact, the entire baby boomer generation who have fucked the world over.
See, now that's
just saying. Just saying maybe they're against it.
That's a good theory.
That's a good theory.
That's smart thinking.
I was trying.
But actually, this is based on a study by the British marketing firm called The Guild. G-I-L-D.
Okay. Also, what are we talking about? Blofeld? Was he also involved in this study?
No. Just
trying to be super villains as much as possible?
It's not super villainish. It's just clunky. Like, they have no scientific methodology from their study. People have looked into it and shown that, like, the way you gather data could not possibly lead to a representative sample. It was like open surveys that people could take on the internet and stuff like that. It's like there's literally no, and the questions were asked in a very biased way.
Do you mean the surveys that people are paid to take?
Well, no, I don't know I think these were just like open.
Ah, okay.
I think they were just like almost like Facebook quizzes.
Right, stuff
like that. And, they found that the way that the questions were posed, were biased, which everyone knows in statistics. If you ask a biased question, you'll get biased results.
Of course.
So even the American Conservative, the publication, wrote an article about this.
Uh-huh.
And in that article, they talk about the Guild and their study.
Of course.
But even they have to admit this, and I quote, "On the other hand, a study by Northwestern University shows that Generation Z is about as likely to support gay marriage and government involvement in healthcare as millennials, and more likely to support transgender rights. Atheism rises by 5 percentage points among Generation Z, and despite promising signs of an increase in religiosity, teenagers are taking a less traditional approach to Christianity than previous generations."
Because Christianity is also garbage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I read a Huffington Post article that cites this Guild study.
Great.
And here are a couple of findings that they have in it from other studies that they're trying to pull in and make match up. A recent study that they cite shows that 18% of millennials go to church, but 41% of Generation Z members do. To which I would reply,
parents are forcing them to go to church!
Exactly. Most of them live with their goddamn parents. That's meaningless.
Yep. Great stat.
Also, they cited that 8 out of 10 members of Generation Z considers themselves fiscally conservative. To which I would reply, most of them have not graduated high school.
Yeah.
Or college. Let alone high school. They haven't had real jobs. They don't really understand what the economy is all about. Oh, and
they haven't been fucked over by conservatives yet.
Oh, also, they were fucking little children, very impressionable children, during the worst downturn in modern economic history in 2008, 2009, and that probably formed a pretty deep impression on them watching their parents lose all their money.
Yeah.
So I would understand a certain amount of perception of fiscal conservatism when you don't understand what that actually means.
It's that old thing of like, if your parents are in any way giving you that bullshit, you're like, well, the government should be run like my family is run, and if we don't have enough money, then what we do is we tighten our belts.
Right.
That whole thing. And that makes sense if you were 12.
And devoid of a bigger picture, it makes perfect sense.
Right. Of course.
Unfortunately, problematic for this conclusion that Generation Z is going more conservative, in this Huffington Post article, they cite that 75% of Generation Z members support gay marriage, and that 76% are concerned about climate change.
Yeah.
So,
Well, that's just the number that is worried about the fact. Like, at this point, even if you're 9 years old, you're like, Jesus, I'm not going to make it to 20. Yeah. Fuck! Fuck!
To be fair, I felt that way too, but that was just because I was
that was depression.
Yeah, I was a traumatized child.
Yeah, exactly.
So at this point, what I would say is, like, taking away all that stuff, your assessment is probably the most accurate, that the Generation Z folks eschew labels much more than previous generations.
Yeah.
In the same way that they do support transgender rights and the ability of people to define themselves however they see fit, they apply that same logic to the political spectrum.
Right.
And so you'll see decreases in people who identify as liberal, but that doesn't mean an increase in conservative.
Uh-uh.
Anyway, in this next clip, Owen Schroyer
I imagine there are also decreases in people who believe that bipartisanship is the way to go.
Yeah.
I don't think the youth are like, well, maybe if we compromise on climate change, we'll get to make it to 30.
Well, that's our generation's really soft version of the loss of idealism of 68.
Yeah.
Of that generation,
yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
The idea that like, no, we can't cooperate.
Right. Maybe. No.
No.
Maybe we saw a blueprint for how to not cooperate and it succeeded. And instead of doing that, the Democrats were like, maybe if we're even larger pussies, we'll get things done.
Well, we won't get assassinated. That's for sure.
That's true. That's true.
In this next clip, though, Jordan, Owen Schroyer says something that ends up kicking off the events of the entire next week.
Uh-huh.
And this is very important, so pay close attention.
He says Six Flags sucks?
No.
There's a void right now, Alex, and David Hogg can easily be defeated. All we need is to find a high school student that's a conservative that's actually good looking and big. Like,
I was in a car with six girls today, a couple of my daughters, others not, who were all way more well spoken than Hogg. They were saying everything about guns don't kill, people don't kill people, blah, blah, blah. It was all this. I mean, they were laying it all out about statistically guns hardly kill anybody. And you know how it's criminal, insane people that kill people, not guns.
Not true.
And all the facts, laying it all out, how their school force feeds them this, but then their parents won't let them go on air.
But it's simple. A conservative that's all, you want to defeat a chicken neck Nelly? You just present somebody that's an alpha male. That's all you do. What do you think the youth is going to do? Pick some chicken neck, no chin, screwball, or pick some guy who's the captain of the football team, muscly, hangs out with the kid.
All right. If I understand his theory correctly,
it's generous to call it a theory.
We're talking about an 80s movie is the way to defeat David Hogg?
Look, David Hogg is a chicken-necked nerd. You need a bully.
Right.
You need a jock.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, the trick to defeating these people is to be monstrous.
Right.
You remember all those anti-bullying campaigns?
Yeah.
Maybe we should bring that into the pro-bullying campaign.
I honestly think that Owen might unironically agree with that statement.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
what a fucking idiot. David Hogg can be defeated.
Right.
That's your plan.
Well,
we're gonna defeat a teenager. You punching down little bitches.
Well, but I mean, you gotta consider the worldview that they're espousing and what they actually believe. And that is that Soros and his people are scripting David Hogg
right.
and have groomed him, which right. introduces an incredible problem that he was recording video during the school shooting, talking to people in his class. So if they groomed him, they would have had to groom him before the school shooting.
Right.
Ergo,
and then plant the school shooter.
Well, ergo, if Alex is pushing that narrative, one of the logical conclusions that has to come from it is that he believes it was fake and set up by the globalists.
Absolutely.
He will cowardly dodge that, people saying, you believe that.
Right.
But he'll still say he was groomed and scripted by the globalists, which, again, like I said, there's really literally no way for that to be the case without it happening before the school shooting.
Or,
which would
you are
mean
saying,
that he's a crisis actor.
Or you are saying that
twat.
Literally every school has somebody who was
right.
groomed.
Right.
Because we all know a school shooting is gonna happen.
That's another possible outcome of the rhetoric.
Yeah.
Like, you could possibly say that. And to which I would say, that is cost prohibitive.
Yeah, exactly,
because
right?
you would have to plant someone in so many fucking schools.
An insane number of schools.
So I grew up in Columbia, Missouri, which is a town of like maybe 100,000 people, depending on if college was in session or not. We had four high schools in our town.
Yeah.
Think about how many fucking high schools Chicago has.
Oh, an insane number.
Think about how many high schools New York has.
Probably almost at least
Upstate
15.
New York.
15 at least.
We have hundreds! And you would have to have someone pre-planned and groomed
right.
in the position ready to go. And mysteriously, none of these kids have spoken out after like, hey, I was put in a position where I could have been David Hogg if there was a school shooter at my school.
But even then, consider that.
See,
you have to then say that either every school shooting is a false flag.
Right.
Which, again, invalidates that whole argument. You are still calling them crisis actors. Or you are saying that they and everybody else realize that school shootings are random.
Right.
If that is true,
ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
that's still a fucking problem.
It's not great.
There's no logical outcome of that conversation that isn't fucking stupid or proving that he's fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's all very dumb. But most importantly, Owen Schroyer believes that all they need is their own young, hot person in order to fight back against the oppression of David Hogg.
Yep.
And we'll see where
you gotta get Big Dick Don to fight Nervous Neck Nelly or whatever the fuck it is he's saying.
And we'll see how that plays out. But now we go to Monday, March 26th. Alex wants to talk some more about going to Six Flags.
Yes, of course, of course.
I was down in San Antonio.
Also, Ted Nugent ends up showing up on one of the later shows. We're not going to listen.
Did they go to Six Flags together?
No, they didn't. But I only bring this up because it bears mentioning. Alex Jones has Ted Nugent on the show. Talks about San Antonio, and that means I cannot not think about how Ted Nugent has said on stage, San Antonio, suck my bonio. So, anyway.
Good work.
This weekend, I took my daughters and some of their friends, took two carloads down, my wife and I, with our baby daughter.
She's ooh, which car do you want to be in there?
Now. She's the baby. And I hung around at the hotel on the Riverwalk while the girls were at Six Flags, and I'd go pick them up later because they ran, you know, ages.
And I was drunk, 15 wouldn't let me in.
To 10. And I got mobbed in Six Flags. I got mobbed outside. I particularly had Hispanic folks who were, you know, white collar business people.
High end Hispanics.
Down to bellhops that were huge listeners and were telling me, I heard this 2 days ago. I was watching you. I saw the video you shot today up in your room when I was checking out. Like 30 minutes later, I'm like, yeah, you just saw that. They're like, well, I get alerts. I'm going to watch it later. Yeah. What do we do? They're really making a move. And it made me feel so good, except those people all think I'm going to do it. And I'm not bitching at them. And I'm not even saying I know what to do. I don't know what to do.
We know.
I don't know what to do. But the globalists are pure evil. They're devil worshipers. They're pedophiles.
All right. Don't need to bring that into Six Flags, that energy.
Don't.
People just like to go for the ride. Don't need to be screaming at white collar Hispanics who are there about how evil the pedophile globalists are.
It's a great way to go into an amusement park.
Sure.
Yeah. Bring that negative energy in there. Yep.
Oh God.
Oh yeah.
So far, how do you feel about this Six Flags narrative?
It's delightful. Mm-hmm. I think the person who gets Google alerts about what Alex Jones puts out is the saddest human being in the world.
I actually do sometimes. But that is
but that's because you're...
I didn't do anything to court this, but sometimes I'll get updates on my phone from YouTube that's like, Alex is broadcasting live. Like, I don't need to know that.
Ugh.
But yeah, these other people, they don't do podcasts about Alex Jones, so it's inexcusable.
That Google algorithm really is great, huh, Dan?
Yeah.
That's fantastic stuff.
Downside of my existence.
Ouch.
So at least at this point, the Six Flags narrative is kind of coherent. It's making sense.
It's not real.
No, but at least it's pretty on track.
Yeah.
It's like the stories are similar and everything.
He specifically notes that white people are not mobbing him.
Well,
it is
only multi-ethnic
people.
Well, some of them are white.
But
he wants you to know that there's minorities.
Which presupposes that he knows that you know it is insane that minorities would talk to him at all.
Or this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Two white people talked to him.
Yeah.
And one Mexican guy looked at him. That's what happened.
Probably in the wrong way.
Yeah. So here's, we go to Tuesday. He tells a Six Flags story again.
God damn it.
I was in the car this weekend with six girls.
You said it was five?
Five of them, my oldest daughter's friends.
The daughter and five friends.
And we took them down to Six Flags, and they were all as well-spoken as I am. Their dads, their moms are well-spoken. They all talked about how they wanted to do a walkout, how they wanted to stand up, how they get bullied by the teachers and people saying, you've got to be anti-gun, going to a major high school here in Austin, Texas. And I said, you need to have your own walkout. You need to organize it. Two of the girls are the leaders, even though... they're only freshmen. They're already the most popular girls in the school.
Stop talking about how cool these girls are.
I mean, you think these kids are well-spoken? You think they... oh, you ought to see these two young ladies, 14 and 13. and their parents are super smart. They look like supermodels. They would destroy them. Right there in my car was dynamite to the globalist.
So this clip isn't
supermodel,
done.
Supermodels, 13 and 14. Alex, looking at those kids weird.
This clip isn't done, but you can already tell that Alex has internalized what Owen Schroyer suggested.
Yeah.
This idea that, like, gotta get these girls to come
gotta
on
get,
air.
Gotta get hot people to fight against the less hot people that are against guns.
Yeah. So you can already tell that the wheels are turning in his head of like, fuck, that is a good idea. Owen's a genius.
But conservatives and Christians don't do that. I think I'm going to talk to their parents.
Don't.
Because I've got to do it by example. I'd say I'd do it with my older daughter. She'd like to do it, but I'd get crosswise with my ex-wife. But when you've got two parents that are together and their child wants to go public, they deserve to. And those girls, I wasn't prompting them. I was sitting there listening to my own music and stuff while they were, but I started listening to them. And they were hungry to tell the truth. They were hungry to take action. They were hungry, and they had all the answers, and they were incredibly well-spoken and well-dressed and good-looking and smart. And they weren't scripted. They weren't funded by George Soros. They were red-blooded
funded
Texans.
By me.
What if they were funded by Soros?
It's a false flag.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I thought they were conservative, and then I gave them a platform to talk, and they were Soros.
These little girls who are friends with my daughters are moles. What the fuck?
Now, that's...
So...
If you are Sorosing in his world...
Yeah.
You got to plant people near Alex Jones.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the way you got to do it.
If that was actually a thing that was happening, that would be happening.
Yeah, that would be a smart move.
So you hear there him being like, I would use my own daughter, but that would make my ex-wife get pretty bent out of shape.
Right.
I don't know if you've been following... what's happening in the world of Alex Jones.
The text you have been sending me about Alex's ex-wife have been disconcerting.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute as this narrative plays out. But just note that here on March 27th, Alex is like, I want to use my own daughter, but I can't because my ex-wife would get mad.
Yeah.
Which is important. Anyway, now we go to March 28th, which is Wednesday, where Alex tells a very different kind of story about going to Six Flags.
Of course.
I went to Chicken Express, and the owner was a listener. He was trying to give me free chicken with my kids driving down to San Antonio.
Suck my bony out.
And I said, bro, I'm going to pay for the chicken. Thank you for being a listener and just a patriot. I'm just keep trying to explain. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to our affiliates. Thanks to everybody that has the courage to carry this broadcast.
Interestingly, I did a bunch of research this week.
Yes, I read that. I read your piece on how many radio stations actually carry Alex Jones, and it is
32.
Less than he might advertise.
I believe that I was able to find 32 radio stations in the United States that play Alex Jones, and only about, I think it was 6 of them, air him live. A lot of the other ones air him at midnight to 3 a.m.,
right.
That sort of shift. He has almost no exposure on radio, terrestrial radio. He pretends that it's very large. You can go to our website, knowledgefight.com, and find the write-up with all the proof and links and stuff on that. But suffice it to say, what I did is I went through every radio market.
We also have a GoFundMe to pay for that chicken.
That's
That part is a lie as well.
Yes.
If Alex Jones is offered free chicken, God damn it, he's getting free
probably
chicken.
Probably gonna take that chicken.
Oh yeah, he's gonna take
I
that chicken.
I would assume he's taking
yeah.
that chicken.
Oh, he's taking that chicken.
So I found the top radio markets in the United States, and then I went and found all of the broadcast frequencies in those markets.
Right.
To 70 miles outside of town, which is a pretty reasonable estimate of how far a normal radio station would travel.
Yeah. I can't leave again, Dan. I worry about you when I'm gone.
No, this was a delight.
That's why I worry. You have just nailed why I'm concerned.
This is called research and fact-finding.
Right.
I went through all of these radio stations, found their schedules, and found...
Remember when you used to play Skyrim? That was great. That was good stuff.
I still played a little bit of Zelda this week. Anyway, the point of
Sorry to derail you with my legitimate concern.
I mean, your concerns are legitimate, but it was an exhaustive process to go through. But the end result, I'm very proud of, and I wish more people would glom onto this, because every single article about Alex Jones that ends up coming out just uses his own stats and his own claims. Like, whenever you see something about Alex, it'll say, without variation, basically, it'll be like, he's on 100 AM and FM stations around the country. They'll just use his own thing without ever looking into it. And I think that that's not good. I think that's a problem. And I can demonstrate that it's not true.
That is an interesting point that you make. I would never have questioned it. Like, you're the only person I can think of who is actually like, I wonder how many fucking stations he is on.
And I was willing to put up with the mind-numbing chore of going through all of it.
Yeah, which is understandable why they would just be like, hundreds.
Just take his word for
it. Yeah, fucking fine.
So the only station in Texas that Alex is on is in Amarillo, and that's AM 940 KIXZ, and he's on from Monday through Friday at midnight. So the idea that this guy is a listener, he has to be listening online, and he owns this chicken joint. I don't know how that's possible. He might like be aware of who Alex is, but probably not a normal listener. So just to get back to this, so I can put a button on it, because I was worried that I might have misspoken. There's 32 stations that I was able to find in the country that air Alex. 8 of them broadcast his show live. 10 of them broadcast him after 9 p.m., including most of those being midnight to overnight stuff.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't afford syndication of coast to coast.
Yeah, essentially what he's doing is broadcasting to truckers.
Well, that's why he broadcasts through shortwave radio also.
Yeah, yep.
But also three...
Breaker, Alex 9.
3 of those 32 stations only play him on Sundays, and 8 of the 32 stations emanate from cities with populations lower than 5,000 people and probably don't have the strength to hit normal cities, like larger cities.
Absolutely not.
He also is not on in Austin, as far as I can tell. He always says that he's on 590 AM KLBJ, but he is not. So that's all to say that, I don't know, I just wanted to bring that up because he mentioned thanks to all our affiliates. Yeah, thanks to all 32 of them. Including only 3 stations in the country
that play
David Knight. Ugh. And 1 station in the country that plays Owen Schroyer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What station is that?
That's the one that's in Elmhurst, Illinois.
Of course!
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's in Elmhurst!
It's the one that's... It's the one that's owned by Matt Dubier, who's sometimes...
Right, who's been on the show.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
So, of course, he's sort of like a... He's in.
Yeah.
He's in for a pound. He's not that penny shit.
No.
And so, you know, if you look at the real world version of Alex's reach, it's all online. And that's something that I wanted to bring up. When we talk about, like, Alex treating his YouTube channel being taken away as an existential threat to the First Amendment.
It is an existential threat to InfoWars, period.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He, in the investment world, you would say he's not diversified. Because what he has is that shortwave for truckers.
Right.
Which is a very limited market.
Not a big one.
He has the online platforms through Facebook and through, YouTube, which could be taken away from him. And then he has 32 stations. If he was banned from YouTube and Facebook,
He wouldn't go away.
He would find some conservative bullshit to find. He would have almost no penetration to large markets, to large audiences of people to run his ads. Like, he absolutely would be crippled by it. He would go full Lenny Bruce at that point and just turn it into like, my plight is your plight, First Amendment, bah, I'm a victim.
Right.
All that stuff. But it would be an interesting transformation. I'd be interested in seeing what happens. But even knowing all of this, I still am not advocating for Alex to be kicked off YouTube or to be kicked off Facebook. If it happens, I'm not going to defend him on a First Amendment basis.
Absolutely not.
But the people who are like, yeah, kick him off this, that, and that, and like, I just think that there's better ways to attack him. Namely, pointing out that he has almost no radio stations. Cocking him out, you know?
Does 590 know that he keeps claiming that he's on there?
I did not reach out to any of these stations because I was like, I've done too much looking into this. I'd be interested to know. I'll reach out to them.
Let's get
them on the phone.
Yeah. Would they be like, hey, no, we don't. Please stop saying that. Would they send like a cease and desist? Would that be possible?
I don't know. Cause I don't, he doesn't say it very often.
Uh-huh.
I can't pinpoint the last time he said it, but I know that I've heard him say it a bunch. Like, there was an instance where Darren McBreen, and I can't remember the other reporter, they were out on assignment.
Yeah.
Trying to get a big scoop about how the police had bought a new boat or something like that.
That's a huge scoop.
Big scoop.
Yeah.
And they got hassled by them, by the police, and they're like, we're journalists, we're on, KLBJ. And I was like, you told them you were on 590, right? And that stuff. I know that there are instances of that I've heard. But again, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what a cease and desist would do. I don't know if he'd have to make, he wouldn't have to make an on-air apology.
No.
Anyway, all this is to say that Alex, you know what it is? I've never claimed that our audience is anything compared to Alex's.
Absolutely.
I've never claimed that we're big or anything like that, because we're a modest show, and
right.
I appreciate our listeners greatly, but it's not like we're taking over the world.
We are big enough to run your ad, though, if you are a small business.
Yes, a very small business.
We will do it for a discounted rate. We will not tell you what that is, but it's probably a lot less than you might
think. Less than you think.
Yeah.
But the thing that gets in my craw is that Alex is so caught up in his masculinity that he has to present everything as, like, I'm much bigger than
he's got,
you think.
He's got roughly 2 billion listeners, I believe he's claimed in the past.
Fucking, he's running a commercial currently where he says conservatively 10% of the world listens
yes.
to him.
Yeah.
Which would be 760 million people.
Right.
Which is absolutely, first of all, if you break down demographically people who have access to the internet, and then you take into account that China accounts for a whole lot of the world's population, and they have restricted internet.
I'm going to go with not a lot of Indians are listening to it.
Probably not.
Yep,
and then
yep.
you consider that mass of the world's population is under the age of 10. It's cockamamie nonsense.
Yeah.
He also said that 10% of the United States listens to him, and
no.
It's lunacy.
Weirdly, huge in Venezuela.
I have something to say about Venezuela on our next episode.
Interesting.
But the thing is, the reason that it bends me out of shape and I was so motivated to look into it is because it really bothers me when people over-exaggerate their importance
right.
and stuff like that. And
right.
it's clearly based in ego.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going on here. There is like I have to present myself as being on 100, 200 radio stations.
Right.
When I'm on fucking 32, including one in Tioga, North Dakota, population 1,230, including Loris, South Carolina, population 2,396.
I'm loving this.
Including Delta, Utah, population 3,436.
Now you're just being vindictive.
Kind of. It's not like he doesn't deserve it.
You're loving it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I paid the cost to be the boss,
yeah.
as it were.
All right.
I did the work.
All right.
Anyway, fuck yourself, Alex. I say that
you're Vince Staples.
Say that in recognition that I know what's coming.
Right.
And here's the next clip. This one is also from March 27th, and Alex is pretty mad at David Hogg. And then we get to see where this is going.
Just like they say, it's time to ban Jones off the internet. He's bullying kids. No, David Hogg's a public figure.
Bad.
Wearing armbands, doing fist salutes, saying they're going to take our rights.
So over the course of the week, Alex's narrative has pivoted from I hate this stupid March for Our Lives to a couple days later, he's like, Darren McBreen told me that David Hogg was wearing an armband. The communists and Nazis wore armbands.
There we go.
So that's his one-to-one comparison that he makes.
Naturally.
And then a little bit later in the week, he decides to bring into the narrative that David Hogg did a heel click and a fist salute.
He did a heel click and a fist salute.
And I think that the interpretation of that is a little soft, a little bit,
oh yeah?
A little reaching.
Oh yeah.
But that's sort of his Nazi David Hogg, narrative that evolves over the course of the week. And it, like, if you meant it, you would have just started where you end. You know, you wouldn't have like been like, oh, I'm mad about this, but I don't have anything to complain about. Oh shit, my employees are telling me about attire choices.
All right.
Anyway, there's a ton of non-communist and non-Nazi groups that have worn armbands in their lives.
Pretty regularly.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, we wear pink ribbons for Breast Cancer Month. Like, this is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
So
it's
anyway,
fine if you wear an armband.
So anyway, let's see where this goes, because it's not good.
I'm allowed to say that's a fascistic parallel.
It's true. You're allowed to be
I mean,
mine.
Just on its face, sue me if you want to, Hogg. You probably will.
You won't.
Let's go. You're the one calling me names, going after me, saying my family's all this and that and everything else. By the way, my son told me this morning, he said he wants on air.
And, no. Oh,
you know, his mom had gotten a couple injunctions for him not to be on air. We talked to lawyers and everything. I didn't really buck the judge on that, but they're not really constitutional. And now you got all these other people that are anti-gun. Well, why can't my son at 15 be pro-gun? And so the injunctions are over now. And so he's been going on air. That's him. Those pieces is Rex. I just gave him the advice to be nice, but he doesn't like David Hogg. He reads all the stuff, them trying to take us offline, them saying stuff about us. You know, so is my 15-year-old allowed to get in the face of an 18-year-old? We'll see.
So.
Great.
This is awesome. This is where this is going.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Awesome. That's such like a Scientology, like the people who leave Scientology, a lot of their stories are like, one time I looked on the internet and, oh boy.
Oh no.
Like if Alex Jones's kid was allowed to read the regular internet instead of the InfoWars internet.
I honestly don't know if it would matter because he's been brought up by Alex and like he's been doing reports about other stuff.
There was the kid in Florida whose dad was a leader of a white supremacist group who was like, who looked into it and was like, oh shit, this is bad.
I mean, you would
hope. They did a whole, New Yorker piece about him or something like that.
You would hope that that would be some of the end result. I want to be clear. I know that you and I have slightly different views on this, because of our texting. but I believe that no matter what Rex is doing, he is off limits for criticism because I see what's happening as exploitation. Yeah. I absolutely see his behavior as being right in line with a kid from a chaotic slash abusive home situation.
Right.
Where he is trying to be exactly what the authority figure wants him to be. And generally speaking, when kids do that sort of thing, it's because they have an ingrained belief that if I become what this authority figure wants me to be, all of a sudden these feelings that I have about being deprived, ignored, whatever, will go away. And that's a misguided thing that takes a ton of therapy to undo.
Yeah. I bet in his 20s, Alex Jones's kid could become a great comedian because daddy issues are a huge thing in
our world. As long as he abandons the conservatism,
because
we know that shit ain't funny.
Yeah.
But I struggle with this greatly because where we are right now and the events of the last week necessitate that we have to talk about this. But at the same time, I'm still not ready and never will be ready until he's an adult to criticize Rex for his behavior.
You know, we did talk about that and I did have a different take on it. And the more I think about it, the more it is just the same thing as Alex being like David Hogg is a pencil neck whatever it is along those lines. It's when you're an adult and you're like, this kid is fucking stupid. What are you doing?
Right.
What are you fucking doing?
Well, there's that. And then the end result of this is never going to be good for Alex's son.
Absolutely not.
Because he's putting him out as what I would describe it as, he's putting him out as a lightning rod. Now, whether or not in his intense desire to make Alex believe in him and congratulate him or whatever the particular flavor is, whether or not Rex thinks it's his choice or not, Alex is using him as insane kind of deflection mechanism.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I understand him. Like when I was that age, I would do so much to get my father's approval.
I got so involved in the church youth group.
Oh, of course, me too.
To levels that were unconscionable.
Oh.
Because I thought that it would be like, okay, once I do this, everything will be okay.
Right.
When I first went to college, I became a religious studies major because I wanted to follow in my dad's footsteps.
Yep.
And somehow and let me be clear, my dad was not abusive or anything like that. He was just withholding and absent.
Oh,
because
yes,
of his,
yeah.
And yep. you have to assume that there's some sort of much worse version of that in the home.
I had two older brothers and one younger sister, and the attention I was given, of course, made me feel like, well, if I just do this, then I will receive that attention. If I just do this, my dad will treat me with this kind of level of respect and and
he'll treat me like a person.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, this is not to say that I'm projecting anything onto Rex. I
totally am.
Okay.
Rex, I understand you. I believe in you.
From my,
you will escape this eventually.
From everything I've been able to glean from Alex's behavior, both on and off air, things I know about him from research, and that sort of thing, I have to assume, that this is more or less what's going on.
Yeah.
And
can you imagine how, like, this is one of the things about Alex that I think would be worse is, if Rex was on 34 radio stations.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Alex would hate him.
You'd kill
Alex
him.
Would hate him.
Oh my God. That'd be a disaster.
That'd be brutal.
Yeah. So, over the course of the last week, before this, Alex had put up a video that had Rex on it, and Kelly, Alex's ex-wife, got in touch with YouTube and had them take it down because I don't know. Because
she hates the First Amendment.
Well, I don't know the full, text or anything of their court, proceedings and their divorce and custody agreements because I can't and I don't care to know. That's their business.
Yeah.
But according to her, there is a injunction that the judge made that Rex isn't supposed to be on air on Alex's, stuff because he is a minor.
Good call, Judge.
And he's being interjected into a very aggressive public debate. You know, like, when we talked about it a couple, I mean, like months and months ago, Alex had a report that Rex did when he was 12 or 13, where he was talking about global warming and stuff like that. And to me, that's not as offensive. It's bad. I'm not for it. But it's not nearly as offensive as this, because you put your kid into an incredibly dangerous position when you inject him into this gun debate and you inject him on the side of, like, I know that Alex isn't saying that these people are crisis actors literally, but he is insinuating that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when you put this 15-year-old into that world on the side of things he can't possibly understand, along with all the, you know, anti-Semitic implications of the globalist narratives that Alex Jones pushes, all of the stuff he's completely lying about, all of that stuff, when you do that, you put him in danger. You put him – you're not protecting your youth.
Yeah.
And – I mean, to me, it's unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable. But the reason Alex is doing it is, one, because Owen Schroyer on Sunday said we need our own version of a high schooler to fight back.
Yeah.
And second, because Kelly got one of his videos removed. And because Alex is a fucking child, he's doubling down. And so now he's like, oh, yeah, you don't want Rex being on air? He's going to be on air a lot.
Yeah. And if I can give Alex one piece of advice, it's don't listen to a goddamn thing Owen Schroyer says.
It's not good.
If you're taking ideas from him, fuck, we've given you a million times better advice and we hate you.
Yeah, that dickhole Owen Schroyer is on one radio station. That's only one more than us.
Yeah.
That's not good. So anyway, in this next clip, we jump to the 30th, because the 29th is not not all that fruitful for this stuff. And so we go, and we see where Alex is at.
Yes.
And so my son this morning, he's off for Easter. He said, I want to come into work. I want to challenge Hogs. My son's in the Daily Mail, you name it. Video's gone viral of him challenging Hog to a debate. Almost no direction. I wasn't even there when my son shot
that. There's one direction.
It's gold. Better than I do. Oh, and by the way, some of the leftists are online saying, he's a child. His father's using him. Get him off. Oh, I see George Soros can get people that are 17, you know, years old, 18, and have them go do what he wants. But my real son, who wants to be on air, he doesn't get to have his free speech. Oh, I see. Isn't it terrible how Alex Jones uses his son to go out and interview people on the street and to then challenge Hogg? Why, he's a conservative. He's a Christian. Rex is a libertarian. He doesn't have a right.
So that's what really this is all about.
He's kind of comparing himself to Soros there as well. Like, if Soros gets to use people, why can't I?
Well, there is that. And that actually touches on one of my reasonings for not attacking Rex, in as much as Alex and everyone in that world attacks David Hogg, that doesn't make it okay for us to.
Right.
And the way that Alex is rationalizing his false version of Soros is using a child, why can't I?
Yeah, exactly.
That's bad thinking.
Yeah.
That's really bad. That's an exploitative mindset to have.
Right.
Now, I would also posit.
Absolutely.
I would also posit that, from everything I can tell, David Hogg is acting out of his own volition, and his friends got fucking murdered at school. So that puts him in a position where he was thrust into the national conversation.
Right.
And he's 17 as opposed to 15, which seems like a small potatoes kind of thing.
Developmentally huge.
Well,
huge potatoes.
Well, I think it is. I think it is, but I could understand why someone would say it's kind of a thin line to draw. But I do think it matters. I think the beginning of high school versus the end is relevant.
Absolutely.
Now, beyond that,
I mean, just based on how hairy your pits are, like, mm-hmm. like, it's very simple.
Well, I mean, like, the other thing, too, is that in the past, when we've seen Alex Jones's kids pop up on InfoWars, the times we've seen it are them mirroring exactly his narratives, or him doing that video with his daughters that was super transphobic, where he pretended he wanted to be a dog,
yeah,
identified
that was
as a dog.
Weird.
So the
that was really weird.
If there was a history of, let's say, George Soros making David Hogg be a subject of those sorts of things in the past, I might feel differently about David Hogg's behavior.
Right.
That's possible. I'm just trying to find ways to, like, frame this. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to come down on, or to, you know, to come down on exactly what the problem is.
It is, in and of itself, putting your child out there, as an advocate for the worst is abuse.
Well,
like, period.
The only thing that I would say...
he's doing it.
The thing I would say in response to that is, I give a modicum of relief to that argument that I think that... I mean, Alex, who knows? He's a liar and a propagandist. But his son may actually think that what he's doing is right. And he might not think he's a part of the worst.
Right.
So that gives...
He absolutely doesn't think he's part... He doesn't think that.
Right.
But the level of bullying a child gets online from just, you know, being alive...
Right.
...compared to the level of bullying that a child like, hey, like Rex would get or is getting from... adults, yeah, exactly, is brutal.
Yeah.
Like, that is something that you and I can't possibly understand. When we were 14, we didn't have that level of social media. We had AOL Instant Messenger, which was awful.
Yeah.
You know, that was already garbage.
Like, Facebook was the Facebook when I was in college.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's where we were at.
Right.
Like, maybe MySpace or Friendster existed.
Right.
When I was younger and I was not on, I was on MySpace at one point. But, yeah, and like, the amount of pressure and being seen and being judged that comes from articles being written about you in Daily Mail.
Right.
And that sort of thing is something that I don't think, like, what is 15? Like, a freshman in high school?
Well, as we all know, like, just like any child actor, you wind up fine.
Right.
There's no problems that occur from that. It definitely doesn't alter your development at all.
It's a mess.
The drinking problem he is going to have is going to be astonishing.
Well, especially if alcoholism is genetic. And we'll get to that here in a little bit.
Oh, great.
So in this next clip, Alex screams about how you can't criticize David Hogg. You're not allowed to.
Oh, no, we're going to have to ban you off Twitter, Facebook, or wherever, because you don't criticize David the Savior of the Liberals. Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in a hug.
hope Michael Buffer sues him.
InfoWars.com. He has that owned. He has copyright on that.
50% off the Real Red Pill and Brain Force Plus right
God
now.
And damn
Bodies,
it.
The ultimate turmeric formula is back
God
in stock for limited time.
Friend How us, can you so- add pivot there? That's not even possible.
That's amazing.
That's a, what?
Next level stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? You can criticize David Hogg's ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
If you disagree with his
on principle
ideas.
Yeah.
If you disagree with his principles, if you disagree with what he thinks are the solutions to the issue.
Uh-huh.
But you're not disagreeing with David Hogg.
No.
You're not criticizing David Hogg, his
or
ideas.
He is criticizing
you're
him.
Criticizing the person.
And
you're calling him names like a fucking child.
And creating elaborate conspiracy theories around a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
To the point where, like, none of it is proven. Like, you can't prove a single goddamn thing he's saying. And he's embellishing all of the things. Like, there was that video that came out where David Hogg was talking about, like, these politicians don't give a fuck about us and stuff like that. And whenever Alex talks about that, he's like, he's frothing at the mouth, screaming,
yeah.
we're coming
yeah,
for
exactly.
your guns. You're lying about a child. And again, I think...
If you went to school with David Hogg, you would be suspended.
No. That's
well, at the very least, you would get a sternly worded talking to
perhaps.
About cyberbullying.
Perhaps. But again, this comes down to Alex's belief that David Hogg isn't acting of his own volition. He is a globalist puppet, which he spells out in this next clip.
Well, I will admit that I find Hogg's arrogance off-putting and unsettling.
I should say, that's not Alex speaking for himself. He's quoting an article, I believe, in the Austin American Statesman.
Yes.
So that's not his own words. But in order for me to have had this clip include him explaining that, it would be like a minute and a half longer.
Right.
Have nothing. So anyway, those weren't his words. He's quoting.
Yeah, he can get a career in Hollywood acting like a supervillain. I mean, there's a certain little gleam in the eye when he's like, and
that's
they're
great.
Panicking.
It's a great career.
And they're afraid of the betas.
Great career.
And we got them shaking. And the other girl, oh, yes.
I mean, think about
we'll
it.
Give us an inch. We
you know,
take
Gary Oldman,
a little
Alan
money.
Rickman. That's
sign
a great
the contract.
Career.
She's like, I have you now. We want your guns. Rule. Communist take on it.
Yep, you nailed it. Fake laugh.
I love it. Woo!
And
who do you
Rick
think
Flair
the globals go and groom and get all polished up for this? They got to be just as bottom feeder as they are.
So there you go.
But that's the thing. Even if he was groomed, even if he is a puppet,
so wait.
He deserves sympathy.
Wait.
Not your violent attacks.
Wait. But are you suggesting that even in such a world where he was groomed pre-shooting,
right,
he deserves sympathy?
Yes.
Well, yeah, as a human.
Yeah.
Well, there's
maybe
that.
You should treat him like a human being.
Well, because in that scenario, which isn't the real world, but in that scenario, then he's as much as a victim as
exactly.
Rex is.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the point.
Because he didn't know a shooting was going to happen. He was just planted there by the globalists.
Right. Even if he was groomed for it, a shooting still happened and his friends died.
Alex is pretty thrilled with shooting the messenger. You
That's
know, he's pretty into attacking.
So far, every scenario and conclusion and action that Alex Jones has taken only incriminates him more, even if he is living in the real world.
Right. Even if his version of stuff is right, it's still bad.
Yeah,
your behavior
he's still
is still
a monster,
abhorrent.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, this we're still in March 30th here. Which is, I believe that was Friday, if you're nasty. I just like saying that.
All right. I know.
All
right. I can't leave you alone anymore.
We're still in the 30th here. And, in this next clip, we get to see, Alex talking about the providence of, Rex's material. And, he says something in here that he thinks is...
I don't like it when he uses the word providence.
I used it.
Okay.
I meant provenance. Excuse me.
Okay.
Alex says something that is sort of meant to say that, like, he's doing this, but accidentally he kind of reveals that Alex is kind of doing
great.
This.
By the way, has my son tweeted yet? He wanted to come to work today. He had this idea of a video he was going to shoot, and I just don't know. He's off in there and doing it on his own. I'm sure it'll be great. My God, that thing he put up the other day was better than what I do. That's why they're really upset right now.
That's not why.
Soros' son can hardly talk.
Like, nope.
I'm really proud of Rex. But you know what? He's a man now, And I had a talk with him last night about this because he wants. I tried to talk 15. Him out of doing this.
Okay, still.
But I said, once he made the decision that he wants to fight the globalist for real, and he's really a man now. He's always wanted to do this. He was reading like adult history books when he was like 10.
Uh-oh.
He understood, and we had the talk last night about this. And about how, you know, that this is this
use
this
a condom when you fuck a globalist.
And that he wants to go down this road. So, another gladiator in the fight for liberty just came out on the field, ladies and gentlemen. And I can feel it. It's in newspapers all over, you name it. The enemy is upset right now. They don't like it. Let me tell you something. My son at 15 walked in there. A few notes I gave him, a few ideas I had. 80% was him.
That's not good. Few ideas, few notes for me. Even if 20% is Alex, spiritually, a whole lot more.
Right.
Right. So I don't believe it's a really good argument to, you know, say like, this is him. He's doing it.
Jewish people have a mitzvah at 13, but even they are not. They're like, you became a man now, but come on.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're having a party. Let's calm it down.
Yeah.
You're still not allowed to make your own decisions.
It's something of a rite of passage, but right. You're still developmentally not full-on adult.
Yeah. So you were whenever everybody lived to 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're halfway home.
Sure. So in this next two clips, Alex is just talking about how excited he is about Rex making this video. As the Friday the 30th show sort of winds down, and it's all pretty gross.
All right, my son Rex Jones has tweeted at his lordship, the one that cannot be criticized, even as he cusses at us and calls us names.
Back to this really quick. I would argue that Alex's mere existence is proof that you can criticize.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're living evidence right now that you can do all this.
Right.
So, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Lord Hogg. And I hope everybody retweets it from real Alex Jones. And I have any... Oh, do we have the video? Did you guys download Rex's new video from Twitter? I love you guys so much, but I want to be able to go to our guest. So I want to be able to play that. So I want to get that new video that Rex tweeted out because I want to play that on there. Can we do that? Okay, great.
Legally?
I know I babble a lot. It's hard to listen to everything I'm saying, but I saw the tweet about 20 minutes ago and they got it done. I haven't seen the video yet. So it's on Real Alex Jones. Where he says, basically, well, he said he was going to challenge Hogg and say, why haven't you debated me? And why aren't you responding? And why are you calling for the end of the First Amendment?
Sounds like Alex.
And then that was this morning we talked. And then later, Hogg came out and called for the firing of hosts that criticized him off Fox News. So
he didn't.
It's just a rampant attack. Look at me. I'm a victim. Give me your guns. Give me your free speech. Give me everything. You hurt me. You attack me. I'm a victim, and I didn't attack you.
Really feels like Alex is not in character there so much as those are things he feels.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is a psychodrama, man.
This is strange.
It's a mess.
This is a whole, yeah.
It's a lot of mess.
Yeah.
So where are you at?
Calling for the cancellation of Laura Ingraham's show is not the same thing as pointing out to sponsors of her show that she's a monster and maybe you don't want to be associated with that.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's not quite the same thing.
The end result might be she gets dropped from the network if sponsors don't want to get behind it, but that's right. Free market.
That's pretty much okay.
That's how the market works.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing.
Sponsors stand behind who they deem not toxic, you know?
Yeah.
And if someone, that's kind of how...
Which is why they don't sponsor your show, Alex.
That's kind of how the Overton window, in terms of mass media should, maybe, I don't actually think this is the case, but that's how it should be enforced to some degree. It's like, is this something we can get away with supporting without losing our bottom line?
That sure seems like the least that can be done. Like, is this something that we can get away with is not necessarily a ringing endorsement of the capitalist system there.
But I think it's how a lot of these businesses operate.
Almost entirely how they operate.
So, again, this next clip, this is the last one from the 30th, and it's Alex reinforcing the idea that, dude, this was Rex's idea.
Sure.
He turned on the radio.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. He also sings along with country music at the beginning.
You heard Casey Musgraves' new album?
Was solid country gold.
Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white there when he asked me for a light. And I knew there was something strange about this ride.
He said,
Drifter, can you make folks cry when you're playing sign? Have you paid your dues? Can you moan the blues?
Can you bend them guitar strings? Ladies and gentlemen, the Daily Mail and many others have written about Rex going on air.
They've written about you.
Challenging David Hogg to a debate. Well, son came to me. I guess it was Wednesday night, Tuesday night, and he just said, man, this Hogg guy, I'm sick of this.
Right.
He was like, look at this article. They're saying that you challenged Hogg to a debate and bullied him, but he challenged you. He said, Dad, I want to debate that guy.
So real quick, the timeline of this is that David Hogg did say he wanted to debate Alex, but then he gave an interview where he's like,
I didn't know anything about Alex, and
I started to realize this was not good.
I don't want any of this bullshit.
Yeah, which is a very rational position.
Yeah.
I said, Rex, well, that'll be a pretty big story if you do that. You can get some good points out about the Second Amendment. I said, what do you want to do? He kind of gave me his idea, and I said, write it down. Next morning, I got up at 6 a.m. He got up about 6 a.m., he was going to jiu-jitsu before school, grabbed an Uber,
weird.
And he gave me his list. And I said, yeah.
Alex still.
And then I guess
Uber.
It was the next day then that he came after school. But the point is that all these publications are coming out saying in the same article they talk about Hogg that I have thrust my son into politics, that I am this terrible father that has done this. Alex Jones turns to his 15-year-old son to defend him from bullying by David Hogg.
So, I
that's an awful headline in any way.
I agree.
In any way.
And one of,
if you agree with Alex, that's still a horrific headline.
Yeah.
That's an awful, like, the Daily Mail ostensibly supports Alex.
Well,
insofar as they are a garbage group of publications.
Certainly. And the end result of articles like that is only furthering the exploitation that Alex is subjecting his son to.
Right.
Like, there is a journalistic ethic, I believe, that don't do this.
Yeah.
And the only reason we...
You poor idealistic fool.
Well, the only reason we're doing this is because of what we're about to talk about, and because we're a podcast about Alex Jones, and this has taken up a lot of the last week, and it would be remiss of us to not discuss it in the way that we discuss Alex Jones issues. It's not like, again, I mean, we stress it over and over again, I don't have anything but pity and empathy for Rex.
Right, right. Which, again, if David Hogg were a tool of the globalists, we would have the same level of pity and empathy for that kid.
And spoiler alert, I have a lot of empathy for him as is.
Period.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine, like, I can't process what my life would have been like had at 16 or 17 I was in the position of leading.
Spokesman.
Leading a movement.
Right.
Not participating in one, but leading a movement that all of the adults I know are unable to lead.
And you have some people who are on your side, you know, some adults who are like, I get it. I get it. We fucked things up. Let's see what you can do. And then there's some people who are like, fuck you, you're a globalist.
Right.
And so the both of them would be difficult because one creates a, like, oh, the adults are like, yeah, you go ahead and take care of this. That creates a lot of pressure.
And is pathetic in its own right.
Sure. And then there's the abuse that comes from the globalist sect. And that world, I can't imagine.
The fact that adults have ceded all of this shit to these children.
Yeah.
Have not, like we've talked about, so many times. The adults aren't coming.
Nope.
There are no adults.
There's no backup.
These are all fucking pathetic, weak people.
Well, adults
who are not fucking doing their job.
Adults are coming, but only if we all become adults.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the only way that this is going to happen.
The adults came and they're 17. Mm-hmm. And everybody who isn't doing this
should be
ashamed.
That's the reality of Generation Z.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So Jordan, now we get into, I'm trying to not talk about this. It's so uncomfortable. Alex went into the studio on Saturday, on the 31st of March.
Okay.
And he made two special reports.
I'm not liking it.
And the first one.
Every single special report we've ever covered has been the worst thing I've ever heard.
This one's probably worse than all of them. Well,
God,
not the first one.
It.
First one's just stupid.
Okay.
Paul Joseph Watson, he found a Reddit account that he has decided and confirmed is David Hogg's.
I really think
now,
he's wrong.
It's possible that he's not. I don't care.
I'm already on the he's wrong tip.
Well, Alex does say that
if Alex confirms something, it is absolutely not true.
Alex said that they talked to Reddit and confirmed it, which
that's not
a literally thing. Impossible.
Reddit isn't a person, first off.
First off. And then second off, they don't give out that information.
No! It's illegal! It's illegal for them to do so!
Yeah, Reddit, at its core, outside of like when people get doxxed and stuff like that, it's a community that's 100% based around anonymity.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't give that information up to weirdo alt-right asshole from Britain.
Oh, no, I think they would.
Now, be that as it may.
That sounds right.
The story that he's pitching is about how David Hogg made a joke in 2017 on Reddit.
Oh, no.
About mosquitoes killing millions of humans.
That's not a joke. That's a fact.
Well, there was an Ask Reddit thread about what are positive things for them to exist. And Hogg account.
He joked that they had killed more people than anything else.
And so Alex is at the point of almost crying about this, and he's trying to use it as evidence that he's clearly lying about caring about a school shooting when he's making a joke about mosquitoes killing millions of people.
Right.
Then he tries to work in John P. Holdren's book, Eco-Science.
Of course.
Which he's lying about.
Fit it all in.
And the globalists want to inject.
Get those waypoints.
He says this literally at the beginning of it, that John P. Holdren and the Rockefellers have a plan to put HIV in mosquitoes to disseminate it, which I have bad news is literally impossible.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
Mosquitoes cannot transmit bloodborne diseases. They have two tubes that they use, and one of them injects saliva into you to make you itch and make you numb while they're biting you, and the other one only is an uptake of blood.
Yeah.
It's a very serious misconception that people have, and because they can transmit malaria and stuff like that, but those aren't bloodborne diseases.
Yeah.
And so it's this crazy fear that people have, and Alex is so fucking stupid that he is.
And also, malaria is more effective.
Well, not anymore. It's very treatable.
Oh, that's a good point.
But be that
let's go with the strains of smallpox that they have. That's going to be more effective.
Certainly.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was the first special report.
Yeah.
Second special report.
Yeah, that's my issue. You know what? HIV isn't as effective as I'm sure the bacteria or the antibiotic resistant strains of smallpox that they've developed.
Well, now
if we're gonna conspiracy theory this, give them a better disease.
See, now you are
because HIV is a bloodborne disease. You want an airborne disease. Why would you even inject it into smallpox whenever you could turn it into a fucking gas or whatever?
Then
it would spread on its own.
Well, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Listen, have you ever watched The Andromeda Strain?
Look, this is just you channeling.
Maybe Outbreak?
This is just you channeling that Dr. Pianca from the Endgame documentary about how these diseases aren't effective enough.
I'm just saying that if you're going to go conspiracy theorist, why not fucking do it right? Like, do your research on how to kill people on a mass scale by disease.
Well, because he's straight stupid.
It's disappointing. It's disappointing.
And I'm 90% sure he was drunk.
Right. Okay, there we go.
Which makes things a lot worse, that the other special report is an hour-long special report with him and Rex sitting at the desk.
No.
Challenging David Hogg to a debate.
No.
Most of the time Alex spends trying to be like, Rex, I didn't make you do this, right?
Well, that's
which,
again, anytime Alex says, I didn't do this, absolutely did.
It feels very uncomfortable. There are multiple points in it where Rex is literally repeating Alex Jones narratives that he has no business being interested in or knowing about. One of them is get ready.
Oh no!
So he complains about, and also we're not going to play any clips of him talking because I believe that that's inappropriate. But at one point,
we are in agreement.
At one point, he's complaining about Salon, because there was an article in Salon about how he's been brainwashed. And it's about his mother making these claims and about how she's concerned for him.
Okay.
It's not Salon saying these things. It was an interview with Kelly.
Okay.
And so he is lashing out at Salon, clearly also doing some sort of like, mom, shut up kind of stuff.
Right.
There's a weird family relationship psychodrama that's playing out, and it's super uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that.
I only bring that up because he's complaining about Salon, and then he's like, Salon, the same organization that tried to normalize pedophilia.
Which is an Alex Jones narrative.
And it's articles that were written in 2015 by a guy named Todd Nickerson that weren't normalizing pedophilia.
We've discussed it. Yeah.
But he was 12 when those came out. There's legitimately no reason he should be reading Salon at 12.
Right.
This is something he can only know through listening to his dad, because it's a misrepresentation of reality exactly in the same way that Alex does.
Right.
There's a bunch of points where it's clear that he's doing an Alex impression. There's a bunch of points where he says things that are either literally or very close to Alex catchphrases.
That's really, really sad.
It's so fucking...
That's such a fucked up thing.
It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
And what made it even more uncomfortable is there's a part towards the end of the special report where Alex is trying to prove that it's not scripted and there's no teleprompters. So Rex is sitting at the desk, and then the camera pans over, and Alex is standing, which would be watching the desk, standing in front of the desk.
Yeah.
And he clearly has a drink in his hand.
Is this the 40s? Is it a highball? Like, what are we doing here?
It's just a glass in the, or just one of those disposable cups in the same way we've seen him drink out of in the past so many times on the show.
This is fucked
up. You could make the argument that he's drinking water. He wants to stay hydrated.
He's not.
Well, this next clip should do, some of those thoughts, put those to bed. And keep in mind, while you're listening to this fucking stupid ass, very clearly drunk Alex clip,
his son is there.
Is sitting right next to him.
I'm still a good shot. People see me shoot 450 yards bullseye, okay? I'm not bragging, but I'm a hell of a shot. When I was a teenager, though, with revolvers and stuff on a ranch, I got so good at instinctively shooting, like 30 yards away, I could just shoot a coke I'd put up on a thing to see it explode. I could, like, not even think about it. 357 Magnum, Colt Python, boom, every fucking time. Excuse me. God, I mean, that is, I am freaking Jesse James, baby. And I can go out and show you that now, me doing that kind of stuff. And that's what I'm saying is, that's what I'm doing, baby. I'm boom, like that. That's what it's all, it's true. You know, if you got it, it's no brag, it's just fact. And then people claim that my Americana, my straight shooting is, and all we've done, and all this crap, you're with the establishment, is why you're so successful. And now the whole controlled left is so pathetic and so scared and so freaked out
how these
that,
thoughts
no, we own the youth. Yeah. We're going to program them with an anti-gun agenda, Democratic Party funded. We're going to put you up on TV. And if you criticize that, we're going to ban you saying our people are scripted and on private jets with George Soros. There ain't no private jets around here. My son was mad. He didn't want to go. I took my daughters and a bunch of their friends to Six Flags last
night. Hey, we're back to that.
Wow.
That's not a sober person.
This is weird.
Yeah.
I am sad. I am genuinely sad.
The only reason that I deemed it necessary for us to even dip into these waters, I think that if Alex had just posted a video where Rex was like, hey, David Hogg, why don't you talk to me? I'm a kid too, or something like that. It'd be like, this is fucked up. But I like, we can skip past this in the sake of decency.
Right.
But the fact that it escalated to the point where he, on his day off, brought his son into the studio and was drunk while they did a fucking video about how, I'm not forcing you into this. And, Rex repeated a bunch of Alex Jones narrative talking points. Like, it's beyond the point where we can sit back and not be like, this is crazy. On the level of Alex Jones' behavior, this is next level, really shitty.
This is the type of shit in the shit town that I grew up in. This is the type of shit that I would hear from my friends who lived in the country.
and their dads had radio shows.
Yeah, no, not that, but these are the kids who are like thrown around the N-word at like 14, and it's like, now looking back on it, yeah, your dad would sit around the fire with his three buddies, and they would be drunk just saying the worst shit.
Right.
And you're right there. And you're, and that's the story of
it's
like,
normalized as you grow
I
up.
I had a drink when I was 12. My dad gave it to me right whenever all my friends there and they laughed as I drank all of this shit. And you're like, that's cool when I'm 12. And now as an adult, I'm like, that's fucked up shit.
Mm-hmm.
That is fucked up shit.
Yep.
You are fucking.
It's not treating a child as an individual.
No.
It's treating them as a thing.
Yeah.
And that's a really damaging part. It can do severe damage to an upbringing.
Absolutely.
Because the process of becoming an adult involves individuation. It involves separation anxiety. If you want to look into like Kierkegaard, you can talk about the various crises that you're supposed to go through as you mature. And I don't sit here and say anything to the effect of Alex doesn't love his son or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that the way he's treating him,
he's a prop. He's not a child.
Yeah. It's unacceptable. He's a
thing.
No,
that's not okay.
He's a thing, to Alex. And,
way to bum me out hard,
well,
man.
Well, from everything that I've noticed of, Kelly's behavior on Twitter, I don't fully support her either. Like, I think she's much better than Alex. I mean, she has to be. Just by virtue of,
Yeah, but she married Alex, which means there's something fucked up going on there, too.
Well, see, that's the simplistic explanation, but I go even deeper than that, and I recognize that a lot of the complaints that she's making about him are things that have existed since she was a part of InfoWars.
Absolutely.
Since she was a part owner of InfoWars and Free Speech Systems LLC.
Yeah.
Like, so there is a, like, she's like, oh, he spouts this hateful rhetoric. I'm like, he was doing that in 2014 when you guys were married.
Yeah.
You were a part of the business. You didn't have a fucking problem with it back then. Now, granted, you can change, and I accept that. But I also see her posting stuff about, like, she knows about Roger Stone and Cambridge Analytica and Russian business. And we know from investigating 2015, the timeline doesn't work. She divorced Alex at the beginning of 2015. Roger Stone didn't show up till November 2015. There's not behind the scenes information she can have about Alex liking Trump, because he didn't even when Roger Stone immediately showed up.
Right.
We know that didn't happen until December 2015.
There's behind the scenes information she can have about the business dealings.
Certainly.
Which I imagine she does not want to.
No, but she wants to pretend that she has information about stuff that people want to hear about, where it's mutually exclusive. She
right.
cannot have that information.
Even then, I don't want to get into that shit. That's
I don't either.
Fucked up family shit.
Exactly.
Like, they've got a fucked up family. That's your, that's fucking,
well, that's
this
why
is
I'm
all
trying
fucked
to keep
up.
This on the
I'm,
issues.
I'm bummed out. I'm so bummed out.
That's why I'm trying to keep this on the issues.
Right.
And when I'm talking about Kelly, I'm saying I support her in as much as I do believe that she was mistreated and what have you.
I feel sympathy for her as well.
But the way that she's playing things plays right into Alex's hands, because she's pretending that she has information that she, I don't want to get into that.
I know.
Don't believe that.
I know. Of course
but,
not.
But she's pretending to have information that she can't possibly have that implies that Alex is a Russian agent or something like that.
Right.
Which, when the reality that he's not a Russian agent comes out, invalidates any of her claims. It works against her. Like, she legitimately the other day posted a picture of Alex having a Russian passport, a Russian visa. She posted this picture on Twitter. It got fucking so many retweets. Ron Perlman retweeted it.
Great.
But you know what?
Thanks, Ron.
On February 1st, 2018, that image was first tweeted by Daria, InfoWars employee Daria, as a prank. It was a troll picture that she reposted as if it somehow proves that Alex works for Russia.
Oh, no.
She's doing a disservice to a lot of the things that we are trying to work towards. And that bums me out. But I still think she's probably a better parent. So all of this makes me very conflicted. I don't know what to do. And it's like you said, this is family shit. We shouldn't be involved in any of that.
Yeah.
But as we are deeply and intimately involved with Alex, we can't ignore this. And at the same time, if we're only talking about Alex in context of all of this stuff and saying Kelly gets a free pass, I don't think that's fair either. So nothing. I got nothing.
No, this is fucked up.
I got nothing.
That's my response to all of this is like, thank God I'm not Rex.
Well, thank God immediately after that last clip, Alex told the Six Flags stories again.
Great.
My son was mad. He didn't want to go. I took my daughters and a bunch of their friends to Six Flags last weekend. My wife was in one car with the baby and my younger
and Rex
daughter.
Is next
I was in the
him.
Car with my older daughter and yep, five of her friends. And I thought Ted Nugent was in the car. I mean, these girls were like, they knew everything. They were ranting. They were raving. And they knew who I was, but it wasn't like they were dialed
tango,
in.
Tango.
And so, and they were all from,
song about eating,
you know, a major high school here in Austin. So that's what I'm getting at is that's why the globalists are panicked. And imagine if those girls were being heard. Smart, beautiful, intelligent, everything. That's what we're saying. And imagine the left saying in newspapers everywhere that he doesn't have a right to be on air and that what I'm doing is abusive and it's brainwashing.
That's deeply upsetting. The idea that he is drinking, sitting on air next to his son and being like, what if these girls spoke out while he's having his son be a prop for him? He's discussing the idea of a better prop.
Yep.
So anyway, Alex, go fuck yourself. Seriously. This is a disaster. I regret that we talked about this, but you have to. What are you going to do? I hope that this resolves, and I wish Rex nothing but the best as he matures and grows up. I hope that he doesn't get too deeply involved in this.
Good luck,
and
kid.
If you're a conservative when you grow up, God bless you. That's fine.
Right.
You're welcome to have your own positions. But I think that the idea of
there's a great comedy scene in Austin, dude. Whenever you're ready, fucking go to town.
Go down to Esther's Falls.
You got some shit to
go
say,
go to Velveeta Room.
Oh yeah.
So like, look, take
and look. You already got name recognition, man. You're already way ahead in your career than I am.
You'll
so there you go.
You'll have a great episode of Marin one day.
Yeah, absolutely.
But take him being his son out of it. This is the crystallized point that I really want to make. I don't want a 15-year-old ever listening to Alex.
Absolutely not.
And if you consider that he's been doing special reports for Alex since he was 12, 13, I don't want any 12 or 13-year-old listening to this. They do not have the emotional maturity to understand where these ideas come from that he's saying. Because some of it's kind of attractive. Some of it's kind of appealing. You know, this idea, when you're a kid, the world is scary because there's chaos. There's disorder. There's like, I don't understand why this happens. And when you have a conspiracy theory that ties everything together in a nice bow, it's these globalists that are doing everything.
Yep.
It gives you a shortcut to maturing in some ways, but you never actually mature.
Right.
You end up having the appearance.
You wind up becoming Alex.
More or less, because you believe that you could read college books when you were 8.
Exactly. And if you're curated information, like if he's saying, you know, he was reading adult books whenever he was 10.
Yeah.
That is pressure that's put on you by Alex.
And it's Alex.
That is an interpretation that is put on you by Alex.
And. Like, let's be fucking super clear about this. That's Alex treating Rex like, you are me.
Yup.
Because it's the exact same language he uses to speak about himself.
Yeah.
It's, and whether or not Rex was reading what at what age, I don't even give a fuck about.
Yeah.
I don't give a flying fuck about that. What I do care about is Alex's behavior and the things that you can trace from it. When a parent sees their child as an extension of themselves, as opposed to an individual in and of themselves, what they do is not allow them to experience that separation, that individuation that is so important in upbringing and adolescence. And it unfortunately seems pretty clear based on the way that Alex speaks about him, like you bring up with he was reading adult books at 8.
Yep.
That's Alex being like, you are me. And then you think about all the rhetoric that Alex constantly employs about how, like, I will live on through my kids because my ancestors are me.
Yep.
That is a shortcut to mental illness.
Right. Right.
So, anyway, let's stop talking about this.
Fuck.
Let's end this so we can. Let's end this so we can do a slightly more fun part 2.
Hey.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you want more of the show, you can go to our website, knowledgefight.com. Hey, and I want to say this.
What's
really
that?
Quick. I don't plug this enough. I have started a calendar that's on the homepage of knowledgefight.com that catalogs
yes.
Alex Jones's behavior on every day.
It's comprehensive and disconcerting.
Most of March is filled in, and also if you go back to 2015, there's a lot of episodes that are filled in. I am building it up as we go along, keep trying to keep up with the present, and then also filling in all the stuff I have from the past. It is broken down by guest, by narrative. There's a lot of debunking that's in there, and I really think it's a valuable resource. And if you guys want to check that out, I think it's a lot of fun because I also think I'm a pretty decent writer. And I think you might enjoy it. So it's on the knowledgefight.com homepage. It's called the Alex Tracker. There's a calendar, and each day you can click on it and it'll open up an entire essay.
And I guarantee eventually Dan and I will have a conversation about active versus passive voice.
No. No. Because you don't like the subjunctive, too. You have some problems with that.
You gotta clean up the writing. There's a way to make it more compelling.
I think there's a stylistic aspect here that's inherent to some of the passive voice.
You know, a lot of 14-year-old essay writers think that things are stylistic as opposed to. And I'm just saying.
Well, were that to be the case. First of all, at the end of this episode, I'm going to tell you to fuck yourself and go back to California. All right. We're also on Twitter at @Alex_Fight.
We are on Facebook.
Yep, and we have a group on there called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant, which is super fun. A lot of you guys should join.
You can find us on iTunes. You can share. You can do all that kind of stuff.
Leave a review.
Please do.
But beyond that, I think that this episode has been slightly less fun, except for the Six Flags stuff, than I wanted it to
be. Fantastic.
This is tough. This is tough stuff, but we can't ignore it. Anyway, Alex, it's very clear. You're the one who should go fuck yourself, you
absolutely.
Stupid asshole.
Absolutely.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
The next one will be a little more.